Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
Ham Nation is brought to you by ICOM. Take ICOM with you en route, on location, and on the go. For more information, visit ICOMAmerica.com/Ham Nation. And by Audible.com. To download the free audiobook of your choice, visit audiblepodcast.com/hamnation. And to kick off the new release of Dimension of Miracles, Audible is sending a lucky winner to Comic-Con. Enter at audible.com/sweeps.
This is Ham Nation, episode number 92, April 3rd, 2013. AES Superfest and Smoke and Solder. Good evening, viewers of Ham Nation. We are coming to you, well, if you're watching right now, Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Central, you're watching us live. If not, then we're Memorex, but it doesn't matter because it's all the same to us. Ham Nation. Tonight we've got Gordon West out in Costa Mesa, California. Hello, Gordo. How are you tonight, my friend?
Well, good evening, viewers and listeners. We're fine. Julian's here. We're ready to roll. Back to you, Don.
Good deal. Well, Bob is out on the road tonight, actually making a little bit of money for a change. So, well, I shouldn't say for a change, but he's out professionally. What's the word I'm looking at? He has a job. He has a job tonight, so that has taken him away from Ham Nation. But we've got George up in Jackson, Mississippi, a couple of hours to my north. George, W5JDX, good evening to you from South Mississippi.
Well, good evening, Don, and good evening, Gordo. Nice to be here again tonight. The weather's turned a little chilly. Boy, it was nice and warm yesterday, but rainy and cold here all day today.
Yeah, same here, too, and very windy. We had some pretty vicious weather down in the Gulf earlier today, what was called a wake depression, a low-pressure system with almost like some 70, 80-mile-an-hour winds that caused some damage around Mobile, Alabama. If you remember, the cruise ship that had its plumbing issues out in the Gulf was actually torn away from its moorings today and was pushed into a cargo ship out in the river by Mobile. So we had some pretty active weather around. But we'll have Cheryl, K9BIK, from up in Illinois to man the chat room a little bit later on. Let's go ahead and get into the show because we have got a lot to talk about tonight. First of all, we want to talk about the 100th show that's coming up in just a few weeks at Dayton. Now, I'm not going to be able to make it, unfortunately. I'm on an every other year for a schedule for Dayton now. But, George, I believe you're going to go. I know Gordon's going to go. Bob's going to go. And the Viasat Speedy demo trailer is going to be there to uplink Ham Nation to Leo's Tech Guy show on Saturday. And that is a cool thing. If you hear Leo Laporte on his weekend radio show, 170-some-odd stations all around the country, and it's going to bring, and Canada as well, and it's going to bring Ham Nation and Ham Radio to all of those listeners, and that is a huge deal. And, George, I know you're excited about that.
I am really excited about that, Don. And, yes, I will be there again this year. Boy, what a great time. And, you know, I've got a special award this year there. So really kind of shocked me. So I can't miss it.
Yeah, Special Achievement Award. And it does not go to, there's not a more deserving person out there. That, I mean, you do so much for Ham Radio with this show and with the Amateur Logic TV. And, of course, Smoke and Solder is easily, far and away, the most popular segment on Ham Nation. And, man, I tell you, we are so pleased and proud to have you. And Gordon, of course, you're going to be out there with your books and everything else that you do. And you do so much for Ham Radio. And man, everyone, there's no one that's taught more people Ham Radio than Gordon West. That's for sure. And I know I got my license because of your books. And we just appreciate you, Gordo. We love you. We really do.
Well, I appreciate that, Don. And Julian is going to be there with his video camera, so we're going to have a great time in Dayton. Back to you.
We actually love Julian, too, but I'm not exactly sure why. Why don't we just go ahead and jump right on? I kid because I love. Now, let's go ahead and jump right into short shots, Gordon. You've got some things to show us tonight. Go right ahead.
All right. And we want to say that this coming weekend is also the AES Superfest in Milwaukee. Cheryl is going to be there representing Ham Nation. Unfortunately, I'm on a video shoot with Julian, so we won't be available, but Cheryl will. So be sure and stop in at Superfest on Friday afternoon and all day Saturday. Win some of those great prizes and say hi to all the major manufacturers that'll be attending Superfest Milwaukee this weekend. And look over my shoulder, Don KE6BXT, Mr. Amateur Television Network, Mr. ATV, switched me from a cathode ray tube over to a LCD panel.
Yay.
And now you folks don't have to watch the flicker. So, no more flicker. No more flicker.
Nice.
More good news. Oh, he's on there now? Oh, man, there's always something. Always trying to steal the show, but he deserves the credit. He did a good job on this. Radio Club of America, also coming to the Dayton Hamvention. And you know, Radio Club of America, their vice president a few years ago, Martin Cooper, 40 years it's been since he developed one of the first mobile portable phones. That's right. Thanks to Mr. Cooper, we now have affordable cellular and all sorts of great phone apparatus. He is winning a huge prestigious award, and that is the Marconi Prize to be awarded to longtime RCA member and former Vice Club president Martin Cooper. So, Martin, congratulations, and thanks for bringing us these great mobile telephones. I remember back in the old days, IMTS. Well, back in the old days, we didn't have half the problems that we've got now. And probably our biggest problem, I really hate to bring this up to you viewers and listeners, our biggest problem is... affecting our ham radio operation. And Mike, K4CVL, says you really got to tell us how you track down noise. Now, Julian, I'm having a hard time reading this. Would you mind turning on the lights, please? Maybe turn the lights off, Julian. Okay, turn them back on. Off. Wow. With a little tiny, this happens to be a Sea Crane Gozo AM, FM radio, you can track down noise sources. So we're going to take you viewers and listeners on a quick tour of all the different kinds of noise. Now, remember, noise in some way coming from sparks can be beneficial. Think of the Titanic, spark gap. Oh, you bet. Spark gap was there to play. And did you know that our ionosphere gives us a general kind of noise? Listen to the ionosphere down about 50 hertz. That's called spherics. So we know that there's all sorts of noise out there that comes over our radio dial. And for those of you down south next to Don's area, did you know that lightning can generate noise? Take a listen to this good lightning crash. Listen how long it takes for the AGC of the radio to recover. Here we go. Ready? Tuning into lightning. Wow. So noise is all over the place. And if we could go ahead and roll a little bit of video, and we're going to start off with an antenna that we put in the backyard. This is vent antenna. That's a great shot of it. And here's the noise that it picked up. Actually, it was not bad at all. So our little vent antenna out in the backyard was not affected by noise. Now, Brian, he's taking a good look up there. Yeah, so if you got an antenna that is not real close to noisemakers, it's probably going to do fine on 20 and 40 meters and some of the other bands. Let's now go to the next shot and take a look at a classic installation. This is Joy, K6JOY. And she just put up solar panels in and around her 5-band trap vertical. And this was her reception of the time signal. WWV. So we said, Joy, no, you've got to take your HF antenna and put it at least 30 feet away from the solar panels. It's not the panels creating the noise, but rather the controller. So once she did that, yeah, now reception. So that is a form of noise that we need to watch out for, and that is the controllers of solar panels. And let me show you a real kludge. This is a, I won't tell you where it came from, but this particular one is extremely noisy, and we got almost a quarter mile range from this solar panel controller. Okay, Brian, back to shots. Good job on coming that one. Oh, there's your source of lightning. And again, a good receiver tuned in will pick up lightning strikes. And there's some right there over Don's house. You hear it? Yeah, check out his antennas. All right, next shot. The lightning's always out there, and that is a form of noise. And let's go to the next shot, Brian, and see what we have here. And these are, as you see in the shack here, the light strips, and the light strips are absolutely quiet until you add this device right here, and that is the dimmer. And when you turn on the dimmer, it's not the light strips making noise, but rather the pulse width modulation that's making the noise. All right, let's now take a listen to additional noise and see if you can identify this. Here we are at Quartz Fest, where out in the desert should be nice and quiet. And what do we pick up on HF but this noise? Sounds like Morse code, doesn't it? Any idea what that is, folks? The chat room is lighting up. It is, that's right, a Danfoss controller on many of the RV refrigeration systems. So next time you go to a big RV rally and you're picking up what sounds like Morse code, not to worry. Just find a new place to go, because it'll be impossible to try and filter out all this dots and dash sounding noise coming from controllers. Oh, yeah, you can add filters, but not on your radio. They go on the noise source itself. Okay, next shot. Let's go to the Consumer Electronics Show. And we were there with our little noise sniffer. And what we found out is the televisions have their own unique kind of noise.
Turning on a new plasma television.
Noise, whereas the LCDs are not too bad. All right, next slide. Now, where does noise come from? Well, you stand 90 degrees. That was my fault, Brian. I did that. Here we have a telephone pole. This is what it's like in Don's area after the hurricane comes through. Wow, that was a quick fix. Anyway, the top two wires, 14 to 17,000 volts. Those are not real noisy. The three wires down there are your 234 volts, and then you got cable television wires, and you see Julian's place. We're taking a little bit of cable TV without them. No, actually, that's my house. Okay. Anyway, those are not problem poles, so you probably will not have a noise source there. Next one, please, Brian. And, how about the new power meters? And again, oh, there we go. Good catch, Brian. The power meters are quiet. There's no noise. You can take your receiver right next to a power meter, and you're not going to hear noise. So don't blame the new power meters. They do not generate excessive amounts of noise. All right, let's go to the next one. And the next one is solar. And again, it's not the solar noise from the solar panels, but rather from the controller. See the controller just to the right of the white garage door? Here's what it sounds like. Hear those spurs right there? That's coming directly from the controller. And that's our neighbor across the street. He was a real good guy. And I said, you know, unless we shield those leads, that noise is going to leak out and like affect you in some way. And he said, oh, my gosh. So we put on all sorts of little ferrite beads and so on. And now that noise has gone away. Okay, let's go to the next one. How do we find the noise? Well, we use the good old Sea Crane products. And I have one here at the desk. And there's one you see. There was a real noise source. That's the fax machine. So if you got a fax machine and you got birdies on the 2 meter and 440 band, there you go. It's not a problem down on HF. But on the higher bands, you bet. Okay, next one, Brian. And here we are, live and direct, the Twit Studios. They have a lot of lighting that is dimming with a dimmer control. And it's a very Sano installation. Absolutely the best. But putting a tri-band antenna on top of the roof, all we could hear was pretty much broadband noise. So we're still working on it, and we'll get Leo on the air shortly. But expect that if you're going to run your ham station in an office, you got to get that antenna about a block away. Okay, let's go to the next one. And here we are at our local Orange County Fair. We were about 100 yards from the bumper cars. The bumper cars were killers because they had a brush that went along the chicken wire and it absolutely destroyed HF reception. Okay, next one. Now, DSP speakers can help, or as we do here with the ICOM transceiver that has built-in DSP, but listen to what DSP can do.
And this points out the importance of digital signal processing in your VHF, UHF radio. No processing on 432.
There's no processing. DSP. Now we're going to turn on speech processing, digital signal processing. Hear the beacon. Let's go up one more. Wow. Here's a beacon coming all the way in from Hawaii through DSP. So DSP makes a big difference when it is killing just the normal background noise. Okay, next one, Brian. Just a couple more to go. Again, don't think it's the solar panel itself generating all the hash, but rather the controller. And the way you find out is you take a little AM radio, and if it starts making noise further than a foot or so away from the controller, then that's probably the noise maker. Next one, Brian. And sometimes, let's see. Well, there's my cat. I have no idea. That one, a great shot. All right, thanks, Brian. here we go. Here's Clinton Gordo at the county fair, and we tried to do a satellite demo. And it was so noisy that we could not pick up the satellite till it was just about overhead. So even up on 400 megs and 2 meters, the local county fair is not a great place to be operating the radio. All right, let's do one more and take a look at this noise. Here's an artist rendition of this kind of noise that is really, really tough to fill out. Anybody know what this noise is? You have to be a ham more than 30 years old. Anyway, the noise blanker would not take it out. Back 30 years ago, they get it yet, Julian? The Russian woodpecker making that noise. But here's what a noise blanker can take out. That's Julian's car. His big red car. Noise blanker, you'll find that you can help get rid of the noise. But again, to find the noise, a simple little AM radio, this one from Sea Crane, and if it's within a couple of inches away from a noisemaker, that's normal. Let me go to the TV here. Hear that noise? But as soon as I move it away, a foot or so, it goes away. So that's not a noise source. So if we could go ahead and, Julian, turn on the and take... Oh! One more time. That's a killer. So anytime you pick up a noise with a little transistor radio in between AM frequencies more than about a foot away, that's your source of noise. So clean up the noise, and we'll hear you on the bands later on tonight on 40 meters. So, Don, that was your tour of noise, and now back to you, and then Julian is ready to take over from here. Go ahead, Don.
Always just the most interesting stuff coming from you. And I'll never forget the time you were in New Orleans when you did the presentation and you put the 110 through the pickle with the CW key. And if I'm telling you, if you've never gone to one of Gordon's things, his stage presentations, and watched him do CW through the pickle, that's just you haven't lived until you've seen Gordon cook the pickle. That's just hilarious. Thank you, Gordon. We appreciate that. All right, Julian's video. It all starts with the microphone. Let's go ahead and roll that now, Brian.
In this video, we're going to discuss microphones and mixers. First of all, let's discuss microphones. There are various types of microphones for ham radio. We have the clamshell microphone, the headset microphone, the desktop microphone. Also, there's two categories of microphones: the condenser-type microphone, and the dynamic microphone. Let's take a look.
This is your standard clamshell microphone. Microphone that's found on most radios, HF and VHF, typically used for mobile use. Most people will start out with this type of microphone in a bass operation, but not a whole lot of frequency response. Good audio for what it is. Now, this is the typical microphone that you'd find on a Bluetooth headset or a boom headset mic, very common for mobile use. Some people use it for hands-free operation while operating a bass radio. Again, not a whole lot of frequency response, but a common microphone. Now here we have a desk mic, a very common mic in ham radio. Not a very good frequency response, but better than what we had before.
Now here's a Shure SM57 microphone, another common microphone used in bass operation with ham radio. Has a pretty good frequency response. Some hams are starting to use these type of microphones for bass operation. Now here is the Heil PR20. This is the microphone that I use for bass operation. It's got a very good dynamic range and has what I call smooth audio. Now I'm going to touch on just briefly mixers. Mixers allow you to bring the audio into the device and then customize the audio before it goes into the radio itself. It can increase your highs and your lows and even in the mids. A mixer has several advantages for inputting to the radio, namely to have more than one microphone or one microphone setting. So there you have a quick overview of what microphones sound like. There's different microphones for different applications. Your application may vary. Some microphones are for convenience, and some microphones are for articulation. Hearing is believing.
All right. And that was Dan, N9LVS, who also does our wiki for Twit and Ham Nation. So thanks, Dan, for sending that in. And we got another video, this time from Ryan Hanna. Now, Ryan doesn't yet have his call sign, but this Saturday that should change. So thanks to Gordo and everybody else, that should be a good thing for him. The next time we see a video from Ryan, he'll actually have call signs added to it. Now, he does have a call sign of some kind. It's actually WDMGAM Radio. And he's done us a Your Shack video. And this time, it's of his AM radio station. So, Brian, please go ahead and show that video.
Hello, everyone at Ham Nation. My name is Ryan Hanna. Unfortunately, I don't have my calls yet. Getting them this Saturday, though. So, I really wanted to do a Show Me Your Shack video, but unfortunately, like I said, don't have my calls, don't have my license, which means I don't have my shack. So fortunately for me, though, I work at some radio stations down in South Georgia, so I said, hey, why not do a Show Me Your Shack video of my AM radio stations? Take a look. All right, so quick background about this radio station. It is a 5-kilowatt, 4-towered array antenna radio station. Now, here's the, I guess you could say, center. It's number 2 tower, and over to the left is tower number 1. Sorry, it's a little sunny. And then over to the right is tower number 3 and 4. Now, at the bottom of each tower is a little building called the doghouse. And inside these doghouses, if I can zoom in, are these, you know, metal coils and inductors and capacitor, big antenna tuners for each one. Now, up here at the top, we've got a couple FM broadcast antennas and some STLs, which are studio to transmitter links. And that's a whole nother story. Now, here's a picture of the array. Now, this picture has been on the wall for over 30 years, and we never go in this building. Now, on each guy wire are these porcelain insulators so that we can actually use guy wires and it won't ground out the tower. Now, this, you guys had this at the Twitch Studios. This is a Collins, and this is what makes the whole array work. We hook all the arrays and individual towers up to this, and it delays it per tower, so we'd actually get the direction. And Bob has an antenna array kind of like this at his house. Now, this is a antenna monitor that we monitor the array itself with. Now, here we get into the good stuff, the transmitters. This is a Bauer transmitter we got off eBay, actually. And we bought a solid-state transmitter, and that thing did not work for nothing. I mean, we tried everything with that solid-state, and let me tell you guys, when they say they don't make them like they used to, literally, they don't make them like they used to. The big difference between ham radio, amateur radio, and normal broadcast radio is your small rig that you have might can put out 5 kilowatts. You can have a small 5-kilowatt box like this puts out 5 kilowatts, but you're only transmitting for a few seconds, maybe up to a minute. Now, this has to actually transmit for 24 hours, 7 days a week, and never stop. And it has not stopped for over a year, so they don't make them like they used to. And then we have all our backup 1 kilowatt transmitter sitting off to the side. So there you go, guys. I hope you enjoyed a look into the AM broadcast world. Hopefully soon I can get a video of some of my FM broadcast stations. I'll let you take a look at that too. Until then, this is Ryan Hanna saying 73s. Hope you enjoyed it.
All right, Ryan, thank you. And good luck for your test on Saturday. I think we all wish you the best. Next week, we'll have a video on some QRP operations. And if you want to submit a video for us, there's the address right there. If you go to frozenintime.com/guide, that'll get you to the video guidelines. And we do recommend that you look at those guidelines before you do any shooting, or at least before the editing of your videos. And if you actually go to the TWiT webpage for Ham Nation, twit.tv/HN, you will see a list of episodes. And if you click on any one of those episodes, as is coming up right now, you'll actually see all the links that are available to you, which will take you wherever you need to go and give you all the information you need to submit videos. So we look forward to seeing your videos in future. And that's it for my section. So I'm going to pass it back to Don. And by the way, Don, I think you got some competition there for voiceover work.
That's fine. We'd love to have him on Amateur Radio Newsline. That's good stuff. That that reminded me of my days back in the 80s when I was on the air at KOMA in Oklahoma City. It was a 50,000-watt transmitter, and it was about probably 10 feet behind the operator position in the announce booth. And that may be why we had to adopt. You never know. But I remember signing that thing off at 2 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday night, Monday morning, and then signing it back on at 5 o'clock in the morning. We would go out and we would do maintenance on that thing. 50,000 watt continental transmitter, a 3-tower array in the back, square profile towers, with 10-foot faces on them, huge. They actually withstood the F5 tornado in 99 in Moore, Oklahoma, where KOMA was. But I can remember it was about a 100-yard walk on the catwalks out there at 2 o'clock in the morning carrying 8-foot-long fluorescent tubes. You get about halfway out there, and the RF would blink them on. I mean, just amazing. I love radio stations. Good stuff, Ryan. Congratulations on taking the test this weekend, and I know you're going to get that call sign. All right, let's go ahead now and hear from Leo Laporte, another radio guy. Leo has a word from Audible. Leo.
Hello, Hambos. How are you? I came here to tell you about Audible.com, my favorite audio bookstore in the world. And I could tell you with great authority, I am an Audible fanatic. I've been a member since 2000. I started listening to Audible because I had a lousy commute. You know, I was going during the screensavers days on Tech TV from here in Petaluma to San Francisco and back, a minimum of 2 hours a day, sometimes three or four, depending on traffic. And at first, it made me nuts. Talk about road rage. Audible, the cure for road rage. When I found Audible, I started listening to books. I went through the entire Master and Commander series of books. Oh, my, those are so good. The Patrick O'Brien, Aubrey Maturin series, 21 books. By the time I got through that, I started reading science fiction. And then I realized, wait a minute, I can learn, too. And I was listening to history and biographies. And I just, Audible's an education. In fact, my 18-year-old son, who is a little bit dyslexic, he doesn't like to read books. He says he falls asleep. When he discovered Audible, it is great. He listens to physics books, you know, about string theory and stuff, absorbs it. He's been listening to Richard Dawkins' books on evolutionary biology, and now he wants to be an anthropologist. Audible is a wonderful way to learn, to enjoy, to pass the time. Those times you can't hold a book in the car, at the gym, when you're walking your dog. I love Audible. Now, here's the deal. I want you to try it for free. If you go right now to audiblepodcast.com/hamnation, you can get a book free. It's so cool. All you have to do is sign up for the gold account, but that first month is free. That means your first book, because you get a book a month, is free. Cancel the first 30 days, you pay nothing, but the book is yours to keep forever no matter what. I think you're going to want to stick around. Audible apps on the iPhone, the Android devices. I have it here on Windows 8 Metro. It's just beautiful. And that's nice because it makes it very easy to scan your library, pick a book, listen to it. Just kind of like going to a library and pulling a book off the shelves, except their audio. And by the way, I haven't mentioned this, but the best readers. For example, they wanted me to tell you a little bit about this new book that just came out called Dimension of Miracles, read by John Hodgman. You know his name. You probably know his voice. He was the PC and I'm a Mac, I'm a PC ads. Funniest guy ever.
He flirted mildly with Miss Gibbon disagreed respectfully with Mr. Weinbach,
on the Daily Show,
and spent 15 minutes with Mr. Blackwell discussing the outlook for the football giants. Toward the end of the day, he had argued with Mr. Seidlitz, argued vehemently, and with a total lack of knowledge.
So the story of this book is kind of interesting. It came out in the 60s, was not very well known. Neil Gaiman, the fantasy writer, dark fantasy fiction, one of my favorite writers of all time, by the way, highly recommend all of his books. They're on Audible. He's been doing a series of books for Audible of new discoveries or his discoveries. He found this book and he said, this is what Hitchhiker, this predates Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, but it's the same kind of humor. The character, Tom Carmody, wins an intergalactic sweepstakes and is forced to travel to various Earths, one after the other, in different phases and realities of the planet. I cannot wait to read Dimension of Miracles. I think you're going to enjoy it. And you can get it absolutely free, or this or any almost any book on Audible.com, just by going to audiblepodcast.com/hamnation. And to celebrate the release of this great new book, Audible's giving away a trip to New York Comic-Con 2013. It's coming up this October. How'd you like to win a trip for two to New York City, including a four-night hotel stay and 2 4-day passes to Comic-Con? All you have to do is go to audible.com/sweeps and enter in your email address. That's it. You're entered into the drawing. You have to do this by April 12th. They'll announce the winner shortly after. Maybe you'll be going to Comic-Con in New York City thanks to audible.com. So go to audible.com/sweeps to enter the sweepstakes. Member or not, doesn't matter. All you need is your email address. And if you haven't tried Audible yet, do me a favor. Get that free book by going to audiblepodcast.com/hamnation. I've got two assignments for you, all right? And now we take you back to the wacky antics of my favorite hams. Back to you guys.
Hey, now. Thanks, Leo, and thank you for having us here on Twit, and thank you to Audible. Do we have some Show Me Your Shack slides? I got so engrossed in Ryan's radio station stuff. Do we have some amateur radio Show Me Your Shack stuff? Yeah. Is Gordon doing the Show Me Your Shack, or are we done with that? There we are. Show Me Your Shack, Gordon.
That's it. And now here's Brian with Shack Shots. Oh, and we got to narrate them. I can do it. Hallicrafters.
That's Hallicrafters. That's good stuff.
That is a wonderful Hallicrafter. Jump in, gorgeous. George. Help us out, buddy.
That's Hallicrafters.
That's gorgeous.
Next one, Brian.
Chicago Bear fan, apparently.
Yeah, that's a nice install. All right.
That's beautiful. Wow.
Oh,
look at that.
Let's see. I'll call it Sirius. What do you call it, Don?
Yeah, that's gorgeous. That's vintage gorgeous right there. That's what that is.
D-104 mic, lollipop mic. George, what do you think?
Yeah, it's a D-104 on a stool and a lot of other gear that looks really nice, but I can't identify it. I can't get close enough to it.
That's good stuff.
It's a national radio, I think.
Yeah, yeah. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
A flashlight.
Love that stuff.
That is great. Ooh, that's nice. FT-101 maybe E. Mm-hmm. Collins receiver. Johnson.
I love that stuff. Nothing like the smell of old radios warming up.
Exactly.
You don't get that with solid state stuff. Oh, that's pretty. Look at that. That's gorgeous. Get in tight on that. What is that? There's the WTIHY box. So he's got good audio. W0RQ. I was watching a YouTube video yesterday of some guy tuning up an old 55-year-old radio and making CW contacts on it. And it was fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. I forget where I found that, but came across it on YouTube. It's gorgeous.
Oh, the Queen Mary, W6RO.
There you go.
Queen Mary's on the air almost every day, thanks to the volunteers that head on down there. And thanks to the Long Beach Amateur Radio Club and all of the folks. Julian's going to be doing, by the way, some videos of the Queen Mary, I understand. All right, Brian, is that it for Show Us Your Shack?
That's all the pictures.
Okay.
There we go.
And we apologize. If that was your shack and we didn't have a full description and your call sign, we'll blame it on, I'm not sure. So, Don, why don't you take full responsibility? Here's Don.
Well, it wouldn't be the first thing I got blamed for today. I'll tell you that. That's for sure. And that's good stuff. I'm looking forward to maybe seeing some vintage stuff. The New Orleans Ham Fest is this weekend, so I'm going to that. It was a toss-up between the car show or the New Orleans Ham Fest. And since we do two car shows a year, I'm doing the Ham Fest. All right, it's time for the news with Amateur Radio Newsline, and here's my evil twin, Lon. From Amateur Radio Newsline Report, number 1859, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, April 3rd, 2013. Following up on a story we brought you last week, some good news for a ham radio operator in New Zealand who was being hounded by a neighbor to take down his antenna because she said it interfered with her view of the surrounding landscape. The town council says the antenna can stay. Amateur Radio Newsline's Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF.
The Nelson City Council has no intention to proceed with the complaint filed against a ham radio antenna installation owned by Rick Kiesig, ZL2HAM. The complainant, Dallas Woods, had appeared before the City Council alleging that Kiesig's tower and antenna interfered with her landscape overlay view. Among other things, she asked council members to change the rules so that amateur radio antennas are no longer a permitted activity in residential zones. But in a phone call from Rachel Reese on behalf of the entire Nelson City Council, Mackey was told that the council does not intend to proceed with the complaint from Woods at this time, nor is it proposing to make any intermediate changes to the district land use regulations that permit antenna systems such as that of ZL2HAM. According to Mackey, this is a major step towards maintaining the good relations between the Nelson City Council and the area's amateur radio community. It also ensures that continued cooperation in areas of civil defense and other activities will not be adversely affected.
Chalk one up for the good guys. And some good news for those involved in digital voice communications, as the FCC says it's okay for hams to use TDMA technology, at least for now. Norm Seeley, KI7UP.
The FCC has granted a request from the ARRL for a temporary waiver to allow amateur stations to use additional emission types, including single and multiple time slot time division access, better known as TDMA. In granting the ARRL request, the FCC agreed that such a waiver was warranted so as to permit hams to transmit communications on amateur bands above 30 megahertz using single time slot time division multiple access systems currently on the market and used by stations in other services.
You can find the entire text of the FCC decision to grant this waiver online at the URL in the printed edition of this week's Amateur Radio Newsline Report. The ARRL, which celebrates its centennial in 2014, has launched an unprecedented $10 million fundraising initiative for the purposes of building the ARRL endowment and strengthening the organization's financial future. Here's Jim Davis, W2JKD.
Mary Hobart, K1MMH, is the ARRL Chief Development Officer, and she says that the vision of the ARRL Second Century campaign is to secure significant financial resources that will open a path to passionate involvement in amateur radio for new generations. Hobart goes on to say that this will provide opportunities for educational enrichment, community service, and personal achievement through the exploration and the use of the magic of radio communications. The campaign has already raised more than $4 million towards the $10 million goal. Plans are to reach the $10 million mark by the end of the ARRL's centennial year in 2014.
Full details on the American Radio Relay League's Second Century campaign can be found online at www.arrl.org. Just type Second Century in the website search box in the upper right part of the homepage. And finally this week, word of new headphones that can scan your brain and tell your smartphone to play your favorite music. Here's Cheryl Lass at K9BIK.
Miko headphones are a development of a company called NeuroWear. The rather interesting-looking headphones have what the company calls an electroencephalograph sensor that protrudes to scan the wearer's brain patterns to match a person's mood with an appropriate song. When plugged into a smart device running Miko's app, it's claimed that the headphones will detect the wearer's state of mind and select a Neuro-tagged, mood-fitting song from NeuroWear's database and play it. The sides of the earpieces illuminate when music plays and even shows symbols correlating to the wearer's state of mind, such as if the user is sleepy, stressed, or highly focused. Currently, the headphones are still in the prototype phase, but the Miko headphones inventor was optimistic. They'll be on the market in what they term as the near future.
That's all fine and dandy, but can you plug them into your HF rig and have them find that rare DX? Apparently not. That's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news, brought to you each and every week for 35 years and counting at www.arnewsline.org. I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5-W73. We'll see you next time here on Ham Nation. Aren't those just the goofiest looking headphones? Wow. Great story from Cheryl. She's watching the chat room. She'll be here a little bit later on tonight in the show to bring you some chat room questions. But first, I want to talk about ICOM. Spring is here. It's time to go on the road. You got to bring ham radio with you if you're looking for a reliable 2-meter mobile on your next trip, maybe a dual band mobile with D-Star. You're en route, you're on location, you're on the go, and ICOM has got you covered with all kinds of mobile options. Let's talk about the IC2300H. This is 65 watts of amazing output. This is a great radio. Oversized tuning dial, very easy to use, very important in a mobile environment. Huge, bright alphanumeric display, has three backlight options, built-in CTCSS and DTCSS encoder, decoder, as you would expect. 4.5 watts of loud audio. If you've got a Jeep or something and you need something that get that is loud, this would be the great perfect radio for that. 207 memory channels, multiple scan options. I mean, just absolutely amazing. Another rugged radio, the IC-V8000, 75 watts of output power. Rugged die-cast aluminum chassis. Again, another great radio for an off-road vehicle. Fast memory channel scanning, has dynamic memory scan. Complete radio control in the palm of your hand from the microphone. Got a control mic, and you can customize the backlight. Wes, weather scan alert. That's an amateur radio first. If you're looking for D-Star, check out the 880H, the ID880H. 50 watts, three power settings, VHF, UHF, dual band functionality, one band at a time. Simple band switching system. This is a great radio. Good menu structure. It's easy to program. Large display, backlit buttons, sturdy knobs, easy to operate again in a mobile environment. These are all mobile radios. Over 1,000 memory channels. And you can get the free programming software available online. You know the ham radio mantra. If it's free, it's for me. It's free. The IC2820H mobile is the D-Star upgradable and GPS capable with the UT123 unit. Again, 50 watts output power, both VHF and UHF. True dual watch receiver, two bands simultaneously, even within a single band. So you can do VHF, VHF, UHF, UHF, or VHF, UHF. One touch reply function. Huge LCD screen. Look at that. Look at that gorgeous screen. Great for finding other stations with the band scope function. The features practically multiply with the DV mode with GPS, GPS alarm location tracking. I can't tell you all the things these radios do, but make sure you visit icomamerica.com/hamnation. You can find more information on ICOM's line of HF, VHF, UHF radios, all great for your on-the-go summertime travel activity. While you're there, enter ICOM's weekly drawing. ICOM swag up for grabs. Like T-shirts and hats. You see that red ICOM hat behind me. Learn how you can win monthly grand prize drawing for a free ICOM radio. It's icomamerica.com/hamnation. The official rules are there. All of ICOM's previous drawing winners are there. You could see your name very soon. And I understand, George Thomas, that there is a ham radio from ICOM up for grabs by going to icomamerica.com/hamnation. Tell me all about that, please, sir.
Okay, Don, I'll tell you all about that. You know, you can go there after each episode of Ham Nation. That's icomamerica.com/hamnation. And you can register for the weekly swag drawings that'll be going on there. But when you do so, you're also automatically registered to win a free radio. And in March, ICOM gave away I think it was an IC23H.
It was an ICOM, George.
It was, an IC2300H went to Gary H, WR1U. So congratulations, nice. Gary. And for the April drawing, we've got a nice one here. This is going to be the new ID51A, the feature-packed dual-band, dual-watch D-Star handheld that extends coverage, display, and capabilities without sacrificing size and usability. You know, that's that's the one they just came out with. I want it too. You know, it's got that automatic repeater list up function. And boy, just a ton of great features in there. The
built-in GPS, it's already there, everything. Yeah.
Yeah. If you're looking for a new handheld and you want something that's really got the features in it, I don't think you'll find anything that does more than the ID51A. So drop by icomamerica.com/hamnation. And register after this episode of Ham Nation. Who knows? You could be a lucky winner. And let's get on into Smoke and Solder now. This week, we're going to continue with our build of that AM transistor radio kit But we're going to talk a little bit about testing and how our audio stage turned out. So, Brian, if you'll roll the tape. Tonight on Smoke and Solder, we're going to continue with our Build at Home series with the AM/FM radio kit from parts-express.com. It's part number 320084. Last week, we built the integrated circuit audio amplifier stage. This week, we're going to do a number of tests on that to see how it performs. What we're going to do first is measure how much current this is drawing to make sure that we don't have something shorted out and that everything seems to be in the ballpark. First thing you need to do is set up your meter to read current, and usually that means changing one of the leads to a different position. And I'm going to put it down here to 200 milliamps because I don't expect it's going to be more than that. And according to the book, we need to connect the negative terminal of the battery. We'll turn our power switch on. So what I'll do now is I'll put one lead of my ammeter here on the positive terminal of the battery clip and the other lead on the positive terminal of the battery. And it says I have 2.9 milliamps. If I've got more than 20 milliamps, turn it off immediately. But the current should be less than 10, and it is. Now next we'll do the output bias test. For this, we'll put the battery in the holder. We'll switch our meter back over to reading voltage. And we should put it on a scale that can read 9 volts. So I'm going to put it on the 20-volt scale here. The ground lead needs to connect over here to test point 15, the one way over by itself. And the positive needs to go to test point 1. We've got 4.3 volts. And the reading we expect is anywhere between 3 and 6. We're going to need an audio oscillator that can put out 400 hertz. Fear not, if you don't have an audio oscillator, you should be able to download an audio generator program from the internet and use the sound card of your computer to generate the tone for you. We'll also need a voltmeter, and what we're going to do here is connect up the oscillator and the meter. The grounds will both go here on test point 15, which is ground, and our input coming from the oscillator will go up here on test point 2, which is the input to the amplifier, and the output voltage will be measured here on test point 1. Now, we've got a problem already. We don't have any tone going into the unit yet, but we're measuring a voltage.
Oh.
We're on AC on the 10-volt scale, and we're measuring over 4 volts here. So this Simpson 260 meter is not going to work in this circuit. Because there is a DC voltage present at test point 1, that's going to throw off our measurements. It's not going to show just purely the AC voltage measurement there, so we won't be able to use this 260. We'll have to move to our digital meter. So far, so good. Really no signal there. Now let's turn up our oscillator. And normally, you would do this test with 1,000 hertz, but your meter may not be able to read 1,000 hertz, so they suggest using 400. My oscillator here has 420 on it. So let's turn up the volume here, and we should turn it up till we get 1 volt. There we go, 1 volt. Now you can hear that tone in here pretty loud, so you'll just have to bear with me on this. Now we leave the audio generator at this setting, and we move the positive lead of our meter over to jumper 3 and measure the AC input voltage of the amplifier there. Jumper 3 is right here. That's so low we can barely measure it. So let's move down to the 200 millivolt scale. And we've got 6.5 millivolts. So we'll write down our voltage here, which is 0.0065. Now we'll calculate the AC voltage gain of the amplifier. And to do that, we take our output voltage, which is 1 volt, and divide that by the input, which was 0.0065. And that gives us 153.84. Now, we expect it to be in the range of 100 to 180 here, so we're right on with this test. Now, let's move on to the AC bandwidth. For this, we're going to need to add an oscilloscope into the mix. If you don't have an oscilloscope, you'll have to come up with a creative way to measure this. Now, we're going to measure the audio bandwidth of this unit. They call it AC bandwidth, just to see how wide a frequency response it has. We'll need our audio oscillator still, and this time we're going to put it on 1 kilohertz. Now, I'm using a stepped oscillator here. It's not continuously variable, so that might limit what I can do somewhat, but should give me a general idea anyway. So we'll connect an oscilloscope up this time. Ground goes to test point 15 as before, And we're going to connect our scope here to test point one. First, we need to set our reference, and we'll use 1 kilohertz as the standard frequency for doing these type of measurements, and we'll adjust our volume until we've got 2 volts. So there we go, 2 volts. That's our reference level. Now, we should move our oscilloscope probe over to J3 and just measure the voltage there, so we'll see our input voltage. And our input voltage, of course, is going to be quite low compared to what we were just looking at. I had to drop down to the 10 millivolt per division scale. So this is reading 14 millivolts. Now we'll connect back to test point one again. All right, we're back to our 2 volt reading there. Now what we need to do is increase the frequency until the signal has dropped by 0.7 of its original value. That'll be the 3 dB point. So that should be about 1.4 volts peak to peak, which is 2.8 divisions on the scope. As I mentioned earlier here, my oscillator is stepped. It's not continuously variable on frequency. This is as close to 2.8 as I can get. That's actually 2.7. Well, what I've got here is 64,000. That is very high.
Wow, man.
Way beyond human hearing. So it's looking like we've got a pretty good amplifier, doesn't it? Now we need to do the same thing on the lower end of the scale. So we'll decrease the frequency until we find the 3 dB point. Here again, we're looking for 2.8 divisions, as close as we can get. And this is 64 hertz. So we'll record our lower frequency of 0.064 kilohertz. Now we can calculate our AC bandwidth. So we take the higher frequency of 64,000 and we subtract 64 hertz from that, which was a lower frequency, and that gives us an audio bandwidth of 63,936 hertz. We're expecting a value here better than 30 kilohertz. We're more than double that. Now, if you don't have an oscilloscope, no sweat. You can get a program like SoundCard Oscilloscope or any number of others off the internet for free. Now we're going to do what they're calling a distortion measurement, which is not a traditional harmonic distortion measurement, the way that I understand it. But what we do is increase the gain of the amplifier until we just see the top of the signal here start to clip. All right, we can see it starts to clip at the bottom here first. See how that's squaring off and then finally at the top? So right about there is where it looks like it's clipping to me. I have set the scope for 1 volt per division. This is 5 volts. So we'll write that figure down. That is the maximum voltage peak to peak where clipping first occurs. Then we'll calculate the maximum power output. We'll take the voltage that we clipped at, which is 5, and divide that by 2, which gives us 2.5. Then we'll convert this to our voltage root mean squared by taking the 2.5 and saying it times 0.7. And that gives us 1.75. Now we'll take the 1.75 and square it to get 3.5. And we'll divide that by 8 ohms, which is our speaker impedance. And that gives us 0.4375, which is 437 milliwatts. And our maximum output should be greater than 200 milliwatts. So we're okay there. We're about double. Now we're going to measure the efficiency of the amplifier, and what we're going to do first is turn the volume back up to where we've got some pretty good clipping going on. We'll connect our milliamp meter in series with the battery. It's changing there. Let's call it 133. And now we'll use our voltmeter to measure the voltage. 8.13 volts. And the voltage we clipped out on the scope that time was 5.8 volts. So we'll divide that by 2. And that gives us 2.9 volts for the voltage peak. And let's figure out the RMS of that by multiplying times 0.7. And that's 2.03. And then the maximum output, we'll take that and square that number. And then we'll divide that by our 8-ohm speaker. And that tells us we've got 0.551 watts, which is a little over half a watt. So now we'll calculate the power supplied by the battery, which is 0.133 amps times 8.13 volts, and that's 1.08 watts. Now, we can calculate our efficiency by taking the maximum output power of the unit, which was 0.515, and then divide that by our battery power, which is 1.08. That gives us 476, but to convert that percent, we just move it over two decimal places, so we've got 47.68% efficiency, and the calculated answer should have been around 50%, so we're pretty close. Now, that's all the measurements that we'll do on the audio section here. If you didn't have an audio oscillator or an oscilloscope and weren't able to make those measurements, don't worry. As long as you did the current measurements up at the beginning and everything looked good there, odds are your circuit's just fine.
Next week, we're going to continue by building the transistor audio amplifier. Now, if you'd like to build along with us, then just go to parts-express.com and order part number 320-084.
All right, and it's time to give away our weekly prize. This week, it's going to be a DX80 short from RadioWaves.com, a good little off-center-fed dipole that's only about 77 feet long, and it'll get you on 80 meters. So if you've got a small lot, perfect choice for that. Last week, I asked a question. R44 and C72 on the op-amp audio circuit there, they set up a loop there between pins 1 and 8. And I asked, what would that often be called? Well, I was kind of surprised. I had a lot of wrong answers there. I did have a few correct ones, though. And the winner was Dale Kalchard, WD8MHM, and he said they form a feedback loop. So congratulations, Dale. You won this DX80 short from Radio Waves, and we'll be sending that out to you this week. And for next week, we've got another prize here from MFJ. This is, what do they call this? The MFJ Universal Belt Clip. And it's just a little pouch there that you can snap on your belt, and it's got a safety strap there to fit any kind of handy talkie into. So if you'd like to win that, then send me an answer at hamnationcontest@gmail.com to this question. When we're testing a project, why do we always do the current draw test first? So if you think you know the answer, send it to me, hamnationcontest@gmail.com, and you could win that Universal Belt Clip from MFJ. And now there's one other contest that's about to get started up here you might want to know about. You may have noticed this IC7200 here behind me tonight. This one's painted olive drab here, and it's coming from ICOM and from Gigaparts, who does the custom paint jobs on these. They have olive drab. They have the traditional camouflage colors from the Vietnam era, as well as a digital, I think they call it desert digital, the new style of camouflage that you see these days. So we're going to be giving that away over on Amateur Logic, and thanks to ICOM and Gigaparts for that. And Gigaparts is also going to be throwing in a DX80 antenna and some Masterant guy rope. That's some real nice looking stuff. And MFJ is going to throw in a power supply and some coax cable and a portable HF antenna. So that'll be coming up soon. We'll be talking more about that in the next Amateur Logic. Should be out around the 15th of this month. And that's going to be a field day contest. So someone is going to win this in time for field day. So just check back with us later for more details and get your entry in on that. And Don, I think, it's been a full show tonight. I'm going to turn it back to you and see where we go next.
Absolutely. Yeah, it has been a full show. That's a great radio. That'd be a perfect radio for field day. Very rugged. It's made for outdoor use. That's why the Boy Scouts of America use it in their go kits. Let's see if Cheryl is around. We'll have time for two or three little chat room questions. Cheryl, are you there?
Hi, good evening, everyone. Hi,
hey,
Don.
Good to see you.
Good to see you, too. And hello, George, and hello, Gordo. You know, I really have a couple things. How many minutes do I have so I can kind of stick to the plan here?
We're pretty close, but a couple, two or three, maybe.
Okay. Looks like there is a question that I have for Gordo from WB0EOD. He says, is the photovoltaic noise from a battery PWM charge controller or DC or AC inverter Is it also smart AC meter has no noise in AM band, but has far more than cell phone RFI and gigahertz band, according to my LMR service monitor? That's kind of how he put it.
That's a good question. And what we've seen with our little Sea Crane receiver is that it comes right out of the controller, and it's probably PWM, pulse width modulation. It's a chopping circuit, and you can definitely hear it. And what we do, Cheryl, is we add these little filters, and they're snap-on filters, and many times that helps resolve the problem.
Very good. Thank you. Thank you for that. And now I want to just say that that was such a great job on those videos that Julian had and he put together, and the Show Us Your Shack. We had a Super Dave's actual video there of his shack, the N9WQ. I don't believe that we had a chance to slip that in, but that was the guy that had the Halicrafters and the columns. And, you know, he's like on single sideband and AM. He's got that kind of gear. He's going to be bringing it to the AES Superfest, actually, this weekend coming up. So he also has the Halicrafters BC-610 300-watt plate modulated to 1 kilowatt. So he's got all this stuff going on in there. I thought it was very, very interesting. You should really look at his QRZ page. Just really very excellent N9WQ for Dave McCumber. Awesome, awesome, awesome. But I have to take it away to say that it looks like they're going to have the 19th annual AES Superfest. I have to say it's on the 5th and 6th. The big day, of course, is Saturday. That starts at 8:30 a.m. in the morning and goes to 3 o'clock. They will have the live feed going on and video recording all the forums. Saturday starts at 8:45. They have the WECOM, the Statewide Voice and Digital Wireless Two-Way Communications Network Group. That's an interesting forum. They have from 9:45 to 10:25 Go Beyond PSK31 forum. And they have at 10:35 a.m. the DX Forum, if you like that. And 11:45 to 12:30, Radio Frequency Particle Accelerators Forum, another use for RMF. You have Kermit Carlson. I know that he's to do with the ARRL. And this is the big one, I think, will be very interesting about antennas, starting at 12:40 p.m. all this central time. It says, I've got this space, now what? And it's all about antennas. So a lot of people always want to know more about antennas. And I think there's actually a fox hunt workshop early at 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock a.m. And I will be there for the Ham Nation booth representing all of us, guys. And this is the Ham Nation card that you can actually get when you're there. I'll have some of these for you. And it has some interesting information in the back. I don't know if I'm holding it close enough to the camera, but there's that. And, of course, my new QSL card, the very first one I've ever had right here. This is the one that you can get right here. This is my QSL card. It has the little things on the back, which you can get one of those too. So, and the big deal of the day is I am going to be raffling off at no charge. So all you have to do is drop your name in the box to get the mystery antenna that I actually run on my own station on 75 meters that I get great signal reports on. It is a kit that was donated to me by Phil, and that is AI4 Delta Quebec. He gave that to me to put together, and it is a W5GI mystery antenna. Everybody wants to know about it. You could type in W5GI. He's the one who developed the antenna. It's spectacular. It is totally stealth. You can hardly tell it's in the yard. I have it up a flat-topped with a center fed. All you have to do is provide your own Balun, a very good Balun, maybe radio waves, maybe DX engineering are the two that I recommend, and a great ground, and you're set, and you'll be up on the air in no time, and you just need a Heil microphone, and you're ready to go. And that's all that I have to say tonight. Thanks for everything, and come and see us up in Milwaukee at AES Superfest, and I'll be looking for you. Stop by and say hi. K9LPK will be there, and one of our viewers also wanted to help out with the booth, so that'll be just great. So take care, 73 from Northeastern Illinois.
That sounds like a great time. I wish I could make it up there, but a little bit far for me. The New Orleans Ham Fest is this weekend, so if anyone's coming to the New Orleans Ham Fest, I'll be down there roaming around and maybe shoot some video or take some stills. So we'll have something, hopefully, from the New Orleans Ham Fest and the AES Superfest for next week's show. Cheryl, thank you so much for being here and for helping us out with the chat room. And we'll catch you tonight later on.
It's always fun.
On the, Oh, it's always great to have you, and we'll catch you later on tonight on the Nets. George, tell us about the Nets. Where should we go tonight for the Nets?
Well, tonight for the Nets, the 40-meter net is going to be on 7.272, I believe. And the 20-meter net is going to be on 14.268. The Echolink net is going to be at star, do drop in star, or that's node number 355-800. And the D-Star net should be back on tonight with Tom Samosico presiding, KB4HQA. And that's going to be on reflector 14, module C. Good show, Don. Enjoyed it, and we'll see you all next week.
Thank you, George. Thank you, Cheryl. Gordon, back to you for a good night from us.
All right, we're tuned in to 7.272 on 40. Julian, any last words of wisdom? Julian says, have fun at AES in Milwaukee. Cheryl, have a great time. 73, everyone. Sorry, I won't be there, but Cheryl will have Ham Nation well in hand. Back to you, Don, and stay tuned.
All right. Good stuff. Good stuff. Y'all see y'all on 7272 a little bit later on tonight, too. So thank you so much for watching Ham Nation, and we'll see you next week. So good night from South Mississippi and everybody here for Ham Nation. Thanks for watching.